5 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Man, Tom Brady's in the news today. Had a little fun yesterday, it looked like, Colfax. Did you see any of the videos? Tommy Boy was hit a few cocktails, it looked like.
It looked like he was having a good time out there on the ocean.
Did you see him throw the trophy? He holds up the trophy and he chucks it across the water.
And not a small amount of, like, 20 feet.
Yeah, dude. And was it Gronk that caught it?
Yeah.
Gronk caught it. And, I mean, it's their trophy at least. So, I mean, it's like Stanley Cup.
Right.
Everybody's touching that. And if you break it, like, that's
what would
bad.
Happen?
Oh, I don't know. I wonder, has anybody broke those trophies? I thought there was a college team that dropped the trophy once and broke it. But Brady was like, you know what? And people are coming out saying that they like him more now. Because they've always thought of Brady as a it just goes to show you, my theory was correct. They hate greatness.
Yes.
And to be great, what do you have to do? You have to sacrifice fun. You have to sacrifice alcohol. You have to sacrifice bad food. And regular people don't like that. Because we like to drink. And we like to eat crap food. And we like to, you know, not have a very consistent regiment.
Right.
So it annoys us. But seeing it yesterday, it's like, oh, he's just like us.
That's what I'd be doing.
Yeah, man. They were like holding him up one time. And then he tweeted. I still think it was a joke. He like tweeted it all. Had a little bit of tequila. Like he tweeted it up all caps and lower caps and mixed it. And I thought he was just messing around with that. But that was great.
That's awesome.
And he was holding up the deuces again like Tyreek Hill. Mm. And Gronk was. They were just like having a. That looked like a fun time. Like, I'm looking at all these free agents right now, and I'm like, how? I guess you see this with any Super Bowl party, but you're partying with Tom Brady. You're not in New England where it's snowing and, you know, it's freezing at this point. You're summer vacationing right now, yeah. And you're partying with Tom Brady. If you're like all these guys on defense and Chris Godwin, too, he's one of the top free agents up there, how do you not want to make a deal and stay there? Because that's fun. Like, and Gronk's on this list. But he's already said he's only going to play if he can play with Tom Brady. That's it.
Right.
That's all. So, I mean, if you're like Lavonta David, Chris Godwin, Shaq Barrett, obviously, I think there's a few others. How do you not just say, dude, let's just run it back one more time. Let's get it going. Flying Dutchman, they play in the league for money, not fun. Well, they're already getting the money. I mean, Chris Godwin's going to get anywhere from $22 million a year to $25 million a year. I mean, I'm willing to, if I'm Chris Godwin, I'm ready to take $3 million pay cut, play with them. Flying Dutchman says, okay, La La Land. Dude, have you heard of this? Hey, I'm going to say a name, and it rhymes with Shmom Shmrady. The guy is known for taking pay cuts. So if you don't think players take pay cuts in the NFL, in the NBA, in Major League Baseball, then you're out of your mind. Do all of them? No. But some of them will sacrifice money to win championships. Tom Brady did that, and he did it for 20 years. He finally got paid and went to Tampa Bay. Texter, now with Tampa, he won't, and they're not going to take a $3 million pay cut. Talk about white prep. What is this? Whoa, what? I don't know what this is. This is crazy. You got to love that. Tom Brady has a wife with $400 million. That has nothing to do... That has nothing to do with anything. Zero. Oh, because your wife makes money, you should take less. What, are you out of your mind? Oh, my goodness. People these days, man. I don't know where you're going with political stuff on this, but this is, you know, whatever. All right. I'm not going to go there. If I'm Chris Godwin, I'm taking a pay cut to play with Tom Brady. He's 24 years old. You could go win another Super Bowl before you turn 26, because I think he's getting ready to be 25. You could go sign a 3-year deal. If I'm Chris Godwin, I'm signing with Tampa Bay. I'm taking a little bit less if I have to, because I mean these guys want to win, and this is their opportunity to do that. Don't tell me it's all about the money side of it. What is this? What are you talking about? He has to get every penny he can. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, dude. He's out there with, like, alms for the poor, dude. He's scraping at the bottom of the barrel. I mean, the guy's going to sign a $22, $25 million a year contract, whether it's with Tampa Bay or Cleveland or whatever. No, it's a little bit different than that.
I think a second championship would more than make up for that pay cut yeah. with endorsements and stuff like that down the line.
So talking about white privilege, I mean,
it'd be a better investment to go for the championship.
What? Yeah, right? Yeah, you're... What are you talking about? I mean, Carmelo Anthony's wife was Lala. She was like in a hit TV show. I don't know how much she was worth, but yeah, come on now. I mean, I don't know where you're going with that side of it, but this is about winning titles. What did I tell you about Nikola Jokic? He's already made the money. He's already made the money. It's about winning titles now. Yes, this is a job, and I've always said, make as much money as you possibly can. But if you want to win a Super Bowl, you have to make sacrifices, and you have to determine what's more important to you. I mean, there's a lot of guys that will say, I'm going to take a pay cut. You don't think, and again, talking about a white privilege thing, you don't think that players for Kansas City would be willing to take a pay cut to play with Patrick Mahomes? You don't think players that see where Deshaun Watson's going? This has nothing to do with that. This has everything to do with, do you want to win a title? Yes, there's a time to get paid. There's a time to win titles, too. And there's a time you can get both. Yes, I could absolutely see Chris Godwin taking a pay cut. I could see Lavonte David taking a pay cut. I could see Shaq Barrett taking a little bit of a pay cut because he's going to get a monster deal. The guy was an undrafted guy. So, I mean, the guy's going to make bank either way you want to slice it. So, no, I could see this group. This group was having a blast yesterday. Every damn one of them. I could totally see them running this back. In fact, the Buccaneers have all come back and said, we're going to do everything in our power to keep these guys, this core, together. And that is Lavonte David, unfortunately, because I really want to see him in Denver for like a 3-year deal. Draft a linebacker in like the 4th, 5th round and then have Lavonte out there. Yeah, that would be cool. But yeah, I don't know. Did Jerry Maguire say, show me the ring or show me the money? Well, that was Tom Cruise, and he had one client. he ended up with, well, he almost got Cushman. He couldn't quite get Cushman. Yeah, there are players that are trying to make money, for sure. But, you know, let's face it here. You want to talk about, you know, top-paying quarterbacks in the league. Tom Brady's not even number one, man. I mean, he's far from it. And he's been, how long for New England was he like top 10? He was barely cracking top 10. I mean, you have Mahomes at 45. Okay, let me just, you're talking about, Patrick Mahomes has paid $45 million. Deshaun Watson's paid $39 million. Russell Wilson's paid $35 million. Ben Roethlisberger paid $34 million. Jared Goff, $33 million. Aaron Rodgers, $33 million. The list goes on and on and on. And you look at it, and Tom Brady has never really been at the top of that. He's never been at the top of that chain. So yeah, he's taken a pay cut, and a lot of guys have taken pay cuts. It's what you got to do in order to win championships. If you, Peyton Manning did it, he ended up getting it all back because of incentives to go win a Super Bowl. But yeah, it's part of what you want to do. If you want to win titles, and some are about that. Some are more about, okay, I want to get every single dollar that I possibly can. Okay, yeah, and I'll respect you for that. If Chris Godwin has a place that's going to give him $3 more million, and that's enough for him to go, all right, I'm going to, unless he goes to another contender. But no, I'm looking at this yesterday, and I'm thinking, man, this group is going to win one more of these things if they can keep him intact. But I mean, he's not even the top 10 highest paid quarterback, and he's won 7 Super Bowls. So don't talk to me about any of this like privilege and, oh, we got to take pay cuts just to play with Tom Brady. Matt Ryan is paid more than him. I mean, get out of here with that. Tom Brady has been known for doing this. In fact, he was tired of doing it. He was tired of doing it with a guy that was supposed to respect him and know his talent, so he got the hell out of New England. And he also probably looked at, once they did release him, he's like, yeah, it's going to be hard to win another Super Bowl with that team. Tampa Bay looks good. So it's an interesting one. But the linebacker side of it, yeah, Lavonte David would be absolutely huge. I mean, I don't see him going anywhere, although he did come out in a release yesterday. A lot of people said he was for sure going to sign with Tampa Bay. He did come out yesterday and say, I don't know who's saying that. So he's gonna roam the market. I don't know what kind of money he'll be worth, but he's going to roam the market and see. And with Denver yesterday getting the news that they released AJ Boye, you know, now they got some money now. Look at this. So they now have what do they have, about 31 mil to play with, something like that. And so if they release Jarrell Casey, then they might have another $11 million to add on to that. So you know that Justin Simmons is probably going to take, you're at 31 right now of cap space. Justin Simmons wants to be paid like the top safety. Is that $14 million? Is that $15 million? Probably. So that's going to take you down almost half of that. And then you have to decide, okay, now we got to try to find, we got to fill some gaps. Your cornerback situation is rough. What are you going to do about Philip Lindsay? What are you going to do about the linebacker position? So this is why, again, folks, the Deshaun Watson move, you're getting rid of all these draft picks. You're going to absorb that into your salary cap. So then it's going to not leave a lot of room to make up for a lot of these holes that you need, even if you release Jarrell Casey, which could get you up to $42 million left over before Simmons. But you got to think Simmons is going to take a huge chunk of that. And again, can you negotiate with something with Vaughn? And if you can't, are you prepared to move on? But you do have to figure out, you know, your running back position, because you have Melvin Gordon locked up next year. But you do have, who's your backup? Is it going to be Philip Lindsay? And are you going to show him the money? John Elway did. Yeah, there's your show you the money. John Elway said he was going to last year. He said he was going to, and then he didn't, and then he paid Melvin Gordon. Like, that's got to be a bad move. But I'm looking at Lavonte David. That's not going to happen. I just don't see it. And I don't see it, even if it's not Tampa Bay, I don't see it working out with Denver. Matt Milano out of Buffalo. He's 25 years old. He can play in that outside. He can move around. He plays outside in the 4-3, so he would transition to an inside linebacker for Denver in their 3-4. He can guard the tight end. He can guard running backs coming out of the backfield. So, I think he's a big name on that list. As you go, there's not a lot of big name free agents as far as the linebacker position is concerned. So it's not going to be that crazy of a market there. So again, you look at that and you look at, okay, are they better off drafting a linebacker and keeping, you know, keeping Josie Jewell, working with that side of it, keeping Alexander Johnson. So, I mean, it's whoever's in need of a linebacker, you're looking at Matt Milano first. And again, Lavonte David's up there. But I like Milano because he's 25 years old and he can guard tight ends. You're going to need somebody that can guard Travis Kelce. And this is kind of going back to my whole theory of stop trying to get a quarterback that can match Mahomes, because I don't think you can get a defense that can slow down Mahomes and a quarterback can take advantage of that. So how do you slow down Mahomes? You got to take his weapons away. Tampa Bay trusted a 3-4, maybe sometimes 5-man rush with blitz coming in. But for the most part, they were going straight up. They were sending people back into coverage. And Lavonte David was able to, Devin White was able to stay with tight ends and running backs, and that took away those quick options for Mahomes. And then you had excellent corner play taking away his deep threat. And so you left Mahomes kind of in a tough spot, plus you were putting the pressure there. Yes, I know there's a lot that goes into it, but this would be a start. You know, you could have a hell of an offseason. If you find a way to draft Patrick Surtain at number 9, which I think he'll be there, and you signed a guy like Matt Milano, free agent linebacker, and then in the second round, maybe you go after another edge rusher. Even though you have Bradley Chubb, and you know whatever might happen with Vaughn, it's still going to maybe work out to where you're going to need another guy anyway to learn under him. You could have a hell of an offseason if you play this thing right. So I'm curious to see how George Payton handles this. But yeah, linebackers, it's a big need for Denver, inside linebacker, no question about it. But the free agent market isn't stacked as far as like top 20 guys, top 30. So they might have to get one of those second tier free agents, which you have to ask yourself, is that how much of an improvement is that going to be over what you currently have? Eastside Chris, I think second, third tier players are there for money. First wants the trophy. Yeah, I would agree with that. And Chris Godwin is now a first tier guy who's probably going to get paid by Tampa Bay. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I think there are guys that, like Philip Lindsay, that guy, he's about getting some money, because you know, I don't know what this is anymore, but it used to be like the life expectancy of a player to play in the NFL. The average is only like 4 to 6 years. It's an anomaly when we see the Tom Brady's and Aaron Rodgers and the quarterbacks. They're well protected, and that certainly helps. But it is, you know, most guys don't have much more than like 4 or 6 years in the league. It's just, it's amazing how many guys that you liked and you just go 4 years later. And it's like, well, yeah, they're not even on a team anymore. That's crazy. So when you're Philip Lindsay, you're a guy like him. Yes. If a team comes to you and offers you $8 million a year for 4 years, 3 years, you know, you take that and nobody thinks anything less of you because it's like, all right, man, you got to go get your money. You know, but if you're Von Miller and Denver asks you to take a $5 million pay cut, you've made bank with Denver and you've won. But then again, if Von looks at it and says, hey, Tampa Bay's giving me a call, Kansas City's giving me a call, and they're willing to pay me less, but I can go win a title, you're not really going to fault him for that because now he's in a position where he can go win a Super Bowl. So it's all, yes, there are some players, there are tier two, tier three guys. You're exactly right, you said, Chris. There are different tiers of guys, in my mind, that are about, okay, got to make as much money as absolute possible. But there are other guys that are like, hey, do I have a shot to win a title? And if you're a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you have a shot to win a title. 21 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. Also, we're going to look at LCU Stanford tonight. That's going to be a very interesting game. I'm pumped for that. Two of the best players in the Pac-12. 20 after the hour, we'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
It's a party, Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint, a Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
And we're back. Welcome. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios talking about a big Nuggets winner, at least a nice one. 133. Wow. Yeah. Wow. 133 points in just four periods over Cleveland, 95. Chris Dempsey from Altitude TV joining us on our First Advantage Hotline. Chris, man, after a rough couple of games and, I don't know, some weird body language in that Milwaukee game, it was just awesome to see the Nuggets run away with this one, and everybody get to play. The bench is having fun. The starters are having fun. Boy, this wasn't this one not just a win. This is something the Nuggets desperately needed.
Yeah, I think from the standpoint of, well, first of all, you got a victory. They hadn't gotten any of those in the month of February, so that was good to get the W. But then to do it in a way that I think you can build off of it. You know, it was built on some solid stuff. And so if you're the Nuggets, you know, can you say, for instance, look at the third quarter and say, okay, we played well in this third quarter. Can we build on that in the next game? If you get Michael Porter Jr. Hitting some shots, can you build on that the next game? Defensively, you were really, really good, especially against Colin Sexton and Darius Garland. Those two guards are really attack-minded guards, and they just weren't able to do anything all night long. And so from a standpoint of defensively, A, knowing the personnel, B, knowing what their strengths are, and then having the ability to take those away consistently all night long, there were a lot of things to build on just that were apart even from the victory. So, from all those standpoints, and then they had a lot of fun, obviously. There were just ridiculous dunks in the game and all this kinds of all that kinds of stuff too. So, it was well done by the Nuggets, and, you know, it's a good first step to see if they can, play higher level, consistent basketball.
Chris, going back, if I can take you back to the Milwaukee game, I know we want to talk about this, and we definitely want to get into this more. But it did seem like, just from me, I'm a chunky guy sitting on my couch watching the game, so bear with me. But I'm looking at this thinking, there's some weird body language going on. It looks like Joker's very frustrated, especially with Michael Porter Jr. And we've talked about that with you. I mean, even Michael and Coach Mike Malone. Is there some frustration going on with Porter and perhaps him not quite getting things just yet? Both, I mean, honestly, he can score, but even offensively, just being in the right place, taking strange shots, and then defensively, are the Nuggets getting frustrated with MPJ?
I don't think so. I mean, young players. I mean, okay, let's take it back to actually. I like your analogy. So, if you were at the rec center, or if I was at the rec center, you're just playing in a game of 5-on-5 pickup, and somebody is just doing some things that are just irritating and getting and costing you this one pickup game. Like you might have some choice words for that individual in that moment. And I think that's where we are with some of the moments with Michael Porter Jr. is. In that the what you're referencing, in terms of Nikola Jokic yelling at him, followed like a 2 or 3 possession string of just consecutive mistakes from Michael Porter Jr. And finally, the best player had enough, and he's like, "Listen, you got to get your act together out here. We're trying to win games out here. We're trying to play solid and play the right way out here." And so you get that point across to your teammate, and then it's gone. Then the moment has passed, and your points are made, and you move on. And that's how I viewed that moment was, it was very frustrating to watch, a missed assignment, turnover, another turnover, and then it's just, what are you doing out here right now? And so, I think that happens on every team and every sport everywhere. You just have these moments where you want to get everybody on the same page, and if you feel like an individual is not there, then you're going to do your best to get them there. And this year we've seen Nikola Jokic be much more vocal, much more animated about this kind of stuff. And so he let MPJ know. But, what happened last night? Nothing. MPJ came out. He played great. The Nuggets didn't even need Joker to score a bunch of points for them to win. And so lesson learned, and everybody moves on, and you get on to better things. So I don't think it has deep roots at all. I just think that you're going to have these heated moments in the course of a season, especially when you're a team like the Nuggets, and you're expected to do big things, and instead you're hovering around 500, and you're not playing exactly the way you want to play, and now you're making these mistakes that you feel like shouldn't be made, and so you're going to have these boiling points. And I'm not so sure that that'll be the last one. For any combination of the teammates, if the Nuggets can't quite get themselves back into a consistently good space. So, I think they're fine with MPJ. I mean, they also understand that there's going to be mistakes made with a young player. Still hasn't played 82 games in his entire career yet, so he still hasn't even played a full season. So, what you don't want to see are mistakes that you think are preventable. And I think that's where teammates will get more upset. And not that you haven't seen this defense before, you haven't seen this player before, or they're covering you in a different way that you haven't seen before. We can all understand that. But if you just run down and you throw an errant pass to another player, and then you come back and then you throw another errant pass somewhere else, well, then that's frustrating. And those are things that are totally preventable and you don't have to do. And so other players are going to speak up.
Chris Dempsey joining us from Altitude TV. How about the other source of Nuggets talk? We were talking about how great Joker's been. Michael Porter Jr., will he grow? Jamal Murray, we've talked about the injuries, Chris. And again, going back to that Milwaukee game, and I listened to the Zoom afterward. I didn't catch it live, but I listened to the press conference, and I felt for the guy, man. I mean, there's a lot of expectations. There's a lot of pressure. But what is there more going on with Jamal Murray? Mentally, obviously, we know physically something's happening. But you could really hear and sense the frustration in that Milwaukee game and then after that game in the post-conference.
Yeah, that was a frustrating game for him. I can feel that for Jamal Murray, probably the weight of everything probably came crashing down just in that one game, because you're talking about you get off to a good start at the start of the season, and then you start getting injured, and it's your elbow, and then it's your shoulder, and then it's your knee, and you're not playing consistent because of that, and that's very frustrating And then I'm kind of fast forwarding a lot here, but then you have this game against Milwaukee against one of your former teammates in Torrey Craig, and he just hounds you all night long and forces you into another bad shooting game. And, you know, when you look at the totality of it all, you are just kind of exasperated at that point. You know, okay, first of all, I don't feel great. Because I don't feel great, these injuries are impairing my ability to be able to play consistent basketball. And then you come out and you really just don't shoot the ball well and really are just, forced into a bad game by a guy who you used to be teammates with. And it is a very frustrating place to be in for Jamal Murray. And, you know, for him, honestly, the All-Star break can't come fast enough for him.
Yeah.
He just needs a week to be able to get his body together, maybe just kind of decompress a little bit and then come back fresh in the second half of the season. But also there are a couple of more weeks to be played here in the first half of the season. And for him, it was also good, I think, that the Nuggets, that blowout victory was good. You don't have to tax either him or Nikola Jokic in that game. He was 8 points on 3 of 6 shooting in that game, four rebounds, 4 assists. Did what he had to do, got off the court, and then was able to enjoy the show from the bench as well. So I think those moments of levity are going to be really good for him too. And so we'll see. The Oklahoma City Thunder are coming tomorrow, and Lugans Dort is going to get on the court, and he's going to try to hound him in exactly the same way as Torrey Craig did a couple of games ago. And can Jamal work through that? And if he can't, how frustrating is that for him, and will that frustration manifest itself into maybe not effective play on the basketball court? So, the one thing that I think we know about him is he has been one of, if not the most tough-minded player, mentally tough player on this team, and so that's getting tested right now. He's walking through the fire, and we'll see, how he comes out the other side. I think he will. I mean, he always has. I mean, he just always has. But it doesn't mean that it is not a frustrating experience for him right now. And it certainly is.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, the matchups too, as you mentioned, with the way Torrey Craig played him too, and how teams come at him defensively. Last night, as you said, it was a nice opportunity for the Stars to get some rest. They didn't have to do a whole lot. Joker still had a heck of a game, 12 points, but didn't need much more than that. We got to see a lot of the young guys, and Zeke Nagy, RJ Hampton, who we've been seeing the last handful of games. And I'm excited. I'm not getting too pumped, because that was one of those nights, Chris, where it just felt like everybody was just rocking. Everybody was a superstar. But I am I'm excited for what the future holds in both RJ Hampton and Zeke Nagy.
Yeah, Zeke Nagy, wow. 4 3-pointers, huh?
Technical. What was the technical, man? What was that about?
Yeah, he got the technical for celebrating the dunk. So when he dunked on, I forgot who he dunked on.
I forgot too.
Yeah, but he's tapping his head, looking at him as he's going back down court. And I was like, yeah, he's going to get technical. Yep, there's the technical for that. But, and I was on the radio call, and I said, because I'm not even mad at him. Because,
yeah, no.
You know what? He got in, he dunked on a guy, and that's, I'd be excited too.
Yep.
But he played great. He mentioned to us after the game, he said, coach always tells him stay ready. And then he did stay ready. And when he got his number called, he was energetic, on both ends of the court. He was dialed in. And then obviously the jump shot was really rolling. And I think that's just the one thing that maybe a lot of people didn't know about his game coming out of Arizona, because they played him basically free throw line down toward the rim as a kind of a more of a traditional big man. But his ability to step out and knock in 3-point shots is pretty significant. And when he really gets it going, you can see what he did. He scored 14 points in 19 minutes.
Yeah.
that's crazy. And so, it was great to see him be able to do that. RJ Hampton has basically been in the rotation for the last couple of weeks. Ever since Campazzo went down with the injury and they had to play him more, he's earned more and more and more playing time. And then, his dunk yesterday was just ridiculous. Once you thought that Zeke Nagy's dunk was really good, it brings everybody up out of their seat. Then you get RJ Hampton, and wow, Teddy Osman was the guy who he dunked on. I won't forget that one.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
And so, yeah, it was crazy. So, But R.J. Hampton has been putting good stuff on the court for a while now, and it really begins with his energy on the defensive end and on and with rebounding. He really rebounds the ball and jumps high and gets it. I mean, so those two things have kept him on the court. We're starting to slowly see little flashes of his offense as well. And that's what he came in being known for, was like, wow, this guy is explosive to the rim, and offensively you're going to love what he's going to do. And then, you know, but he's a work in progress defensively. Well, it's been in the reverse right now. Defense has gotten him on the court. Offense is coming along. We saw a little bit of more from his offense yesterday. I mean, his future really, really is bright. You know, they've gotten some really dynamic and athletic players that they drafted, and it's going to be fun to see them come along.
Yeah, no question about it, man. Well, like you said, OKC coming up later this week, and then get back at it Sunday, rematch time against the Lakers. So hopefully the Nuggets can get it rolling against OKC and bring one heck of a matchup coming up Sunday, man. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, I mean, that's why, you know, and then, you know, we started this segment. This is why it was important to do what they did against Cleveland. I mean,
yeah.
This is the foundation that if on Sunday you're able to put yourself in the space to beat the Lakers, you can point straight back to this game as to being the start of the good stuff that you're putting on the court. So it's important that they did that against Cleveland. Obviously, Cleveland's not a very good basketball team. They'll step up the competition a little bit against the Oklahoma City Thunder. And if they're able to kind of repeat that, then obviously you step up the competition to the best team in the NBA. But I mean, not record-wise, because that's the Utah Jazz, but I think we all think that the Lakers are the best team in the NBA. And, you know, so your competition level has risen in each of the three games. Can you consistently put good basketball on the court as well?
That'll be the big test. We want to see that consistency really start to take hold. And I know there's a lot of teams, Chris, in the NBA that are kind of battling the same thing. I mean, no one's necessarily running away. So that's kind of the one thing that's still keeping me from getting too concerned. But we'll see. I'd like to see the Nuggets start to put together a really good February. Chris, always appreciate you, my friend. Coverage details for tomorrow night?
Yeah, Altitude Sports. We'll be on at 7 o'clock game. So we'll be on at 6 with the pregame show. Tip off at 7. Got the postgame coverage afterward. Got all kinds of little social stuff going on during the game as well. So we'll have you covered. I will be on the radio broadcast with Jason Kosmiski. You know, and so I think that pregame starts at 6:30. But yeah, we're everywhere, and so we got you covered. Radio, we got you covered. TV, obviously, we got you covered. Social. So anything that you need to know about how the Nuggets are doing, how things are going, how the game is going, we'll have it for you.
I love it, man. Chris, appreciate you, man. And yeah, let's see where the Nuggets are this time next week. Maybe we'll be talking about a couple of big W's.
Yeah, and geez, a couple of big W's might get you back into the top four. I mean, everybody's so tightly bunched, so
yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, no one's pulling away yet. That's the thing. That's the thing to keep an eye on. Chris, we'll talk to you next week, my friend.
Okay, we'll talk to you.
Chris Dempsey, Altitude TV, 42 minutes after the hour. Thursday night special coming up next. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Thursday, so good to me. Thursday evening.
Oh, so good. Yeah, don't turn that down, Colfax. We need it.
Oh, Thursday evening.
It's beautiful.
Thursday evening, could you guarantee?
Wait for it. Wait for it.
That Friday morning, my pick would still be here with me.
Nailed it. Love it. All right, Thursday night special.
Thursday.
Okay. This one's on ESPN2 tonight. This is a team that I have been watching very closely this year. They've been good. They've been really good. But last year, they were really good, too. Last year, I thought they were world beaters. I thought they could go on and do some big things in their you know, whatever that tournament is. Try not to give it away. I thought there were big things coming. And then something happened right around this time. Mentally, physically, could not figure it out. Couldn't do it. Here we are again. This team I'm talking about is 15-5 right now. And they're good. They've had a couple of games they wish they could get back, a couple of weird losses. But this is that crunch time. They have some huge games coming up, but I don't want to see them lose the last six games of the season again. So the game I'm looking at tonight, yeah, you know. The Stanford Cardinal playing host to the Colorado Buffaloes tonight. Man, Stanford is, I mean, they're not, listen, Stanford's a 12-7 team. They do have a stud. They have a pretty deep bench, but Otis Silva's averaging 19.5 points per game. McKinley Wright, who I believe is a first-rounder, I think, is averaging 14.5, but he's a facilitator. The guy does it all, and he's a great defensive player. Stanford is not a one-man crew like Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, told us yesterday, though. It's a deep team. The Buffs are only favored by one. There's a reason for that. It's a tough place to go for Colorado. Tough place to go in and win. Both teams in their last five have been okay. Stanford beat Arizona. They beat Cal twice in a row. They barely lost to USC, so this is a team that means business. So my pick tonight. I'm going Colorado Buffaloes.
Hold on to your butts.
No!
The Buffalo is the only animal.
Oh, yeah, McIntyre.
Up the horn. Right wing for three. Right between the eyes.
Is that Marky Mark Johnson? Love it.
Because we're the Colorado Buffaloes.
That's the Nuggets music. I see what you did. You happy? Learfield presents Mark Johnson. Legal.
The buffalo is the only animal that walks into the storm.
I was like, what? What? What was going on with the? Okay. See, you always get me, and then you round it out at the end. I like the Colorado Buffaloes to take care of Stanford tonight. The Buffs are 1-point favorites. I think it's gonna be a close game, but I see the Buffs winning. I see the Buffs covering that spread. 49 minutes after the hour, short break, and then we'll wrap up. We'll get to the closing thoughts, and what's on TV. We'll be right back.
Keep up with your favorite high school basketball teams with Preps Radio on Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Power Trip. Weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado. And you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Culligans are negative today, man. Negative. It's all we've had. I haven't even read half of it. Let's get this one from Pillow Fight Dan after the Thursday Night Special. See you, sucks. What? I think it's the weather. You know, get used to it because it's only going to get colder the next couple of days. It's going to be so cold. Saturday, I'm doing it, Colfax. I'm not going to back out. I've thought about it. Trust me. I've already paid, so like I'm good there. You know, and I want my money to go there because I love what Sweetheart City Racing's all about. I love what they do. But there's a part of me that's like, I could just not run, but I can't do that, right? I got to go. I got to go.
I mean, you've been talking about it for months,
right? And but it's like saying Arctic temperatures. Like that word just scares me. Just say low temperatures. Don't say Arctic. That's frustrating to me and scary.
Just channel your inner Jamal Murray.
Well, I'll start doing some push-ups.
Do some push-ups. Get warmed up.
So I'm not really a runner. So what do I wear? That's the question. Because most runners wear like, you know, tights and stuff. But it's going to be cold. So what do runners wear when it's really, really cold and I got to go 4 miles?
Full-on snowsuit. Yeah.
I might do that. I'm going to be walking some of it. Although, I'll probably run a lot more anyway now because I'm going to want to get the hell out of the cold.
See? Maybe you'll set a record time.
Maybe. So if anybody's adventurous and wants to try running with me, we can stay close, too, for warmth. Sweetheart Classic, Loveland Sweetheart Classic coming up this weekend And unfortunately, yes, the weather's going to be rough, but you know what? We've had worse. We'll be okay. We're going to make it through this. And then there's beer at the end, I believe, and always great food. So I'm looking forward to it. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Yes, I love this game. See you, Stanford, tonight in this Pac-12 matchup. Two of the best Pac-12 players in the conference, so it should be a good one. Starts on ESPN2, 5 o'clock. I got the Buffs in it for my Thursday night special. Need to bounce back after last week. That's going to do it for us. We're back at it on a Friday. Cowherd, coming up next. Good night, Northern Colorado.